Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Appreciate the song. Love that song, by the way. It's the gospel. It's the salvation. It's the message of God. Turn with us tonight to the book of John, chapter number 3. I've got a thought tonight. As I thought about it, it occurred to me that the people likely that would be present tonight have heard this over and over, but I'll contend that it's the bestest news ever. And I just feel an unction to share it again, and so I hope he'll just place it, if in nowhere, deep in my heart, that I might always know this truth. John chapter number 3, I'm going to begin at verse number 15 and read just a few verses there. John chapter number 3, verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Father, thank you for your word. We pray you would open it to our hearts, and our hearts to it. We need it. We know it. And so we ask it earnestly. May it be free as we receive it. And yet may we recognize the importance of sharing it as a treasure that others need to know. They must know. Help us, I pray, to be good stewards of this treasure, this gift that has been given us, the truth of your word. And Lord, help us in every way to be willing to share it with others. Guide us now as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought tonight, and I've just three different places to kind of bring us around to the truth of the matter, but the thought tonight is that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He did not come to condemn the world. I believe today people believe, if they believe there's a God at all, they believe that he is a God that is condemning, that he's a God that has come to condemn, and that all he has to offer is basically a hard time about sin. Now, I'm not going to deny that God's any of those things. Does he have the right to condemn? He does, and will he condemn one day? But today, he has sent his Son, not to condemn, but to save. Amen. Jesus Christ did not come to condemn. I want us to look tonight just at this simple truth from John chapter 3. As I was thinking about what he was sharing with Nicodemus, it obviously was important to Christ to make it clear to Nicodemus that his purpose on earth had nothing to do with condemnation, indicating to me that they had the same problem then that they have now, thinking of God in a way that God is not truly represented. It's not God at all. It's not God that we can lay blame on, or that he's simply a God of condemnation. He is not. Now, does he have wrath? He does. And is he holy? Yes. And will he judge men and women? He certainly will. Does he recompense for sin? Yes. He does in every way. But I say tonight that Jesus' purpose for coming was not to condemn, amen, but to save. Amen. And it was important that he made it clear to Nicodemus for whatever reason. I don't know it, and I don't want to suppose what it was, but there was something about that visit when Nicodemus came to him at night that caused the master to tell him quite clearly that he did not come to condemn the world. Now, they may have thought that as the king, that Jesus would rule on this earth at that time. I'm certain that many of them did, and they felt like he would take it by force if need be, and all of these other things, but they had it all wrong. They didn't recognize his purpose, and Jesus quite clearly shares with Nicodemus that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And here's what he said to him. He said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Right? I don't know about you, but that's the best news that I've ever heard. That if we believe on Jesus Christ, that condemnation is not a part of the picture. Now, he has the right to condemn me. Right? It's no different than what he said in the book of John, chapter number 8, and I want to use that as a reference today, when the woman was brought before Jesus that was caught in the very act of adultery. And you'll remember how there that as she just knelt before the Lord and he began to write on the ground, and all of the so-called righteous, as they watched him write upon the ground, suddenly he stood up and he said to them, you that are without stones, or you that without guilt, sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. And one by one, they dropped them, and they all walked away. And he said to the woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, looked around, said, Lord, I have none. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Now, he could have, right? She was guilty. There's no question about that. Now, there were questions about why only her was brought, if she was caught in the very act of adultery, why only her was being scrutinized. But there's several questions, but one of them was not whether she was guilty. She was guilty, and Jesus had every right to condemn her. He certainly had the power to condemn, and he would have been right. He could have judged her right on the spot. But may I say to you, he didn't come to condemn. Oh, how glad that I am that the Lord didn't come to condemn. And we look in the world today, and I tell you, it makes me mad, and I have to be careful, because when I see the sin and when I see the devil raging in so many lives, it's easy for me to look at that person and think of them as simply being the sin. But may I say to you today, there's an enemy. We don't fight against flesh and blood. It's not the people of this world that are the problem. It's the enemy and the sin that dwells within our flesh. And brother, you better be glad that we don't have the power to condemn anyone today. And if Christ had come to condemn then, certainly you and I would have never had the opportunity to be saved. We can't look at someone else just because they're this or that, or their lives are ravaged by sin, or they live with a hunger for sin and they simply satisfy the flesh. The truth is, Jesus did not come to condemn those people. Not in any way. Now, it might be easier for you and I, and I've certainly had the thought, maybe if you're honest, you've had it too. I've had the thought, Lord, it'd be a whole lot simpler if we just didn't have all this sin. But the truth is if he judged sin today, all those people would be lost. Lost forever with no hope. And think about yourself. If he had done that before you got saved, you would have been in that number. Condemned to hell with no way of recovering. And yet what Jesus was trying to be extremely clear with Nicodemus was that I did not come to condemn the world. Now here was his words. He said, whoever believes on me is not condemned, but whosoever does not believe, right? And I believe it was important that Nicodemus understand that if the crux of the matter was believing in Jesus Christ, that's how you're born again. For by faith are you saved through faith. Grateful to God that he made a way that I could believe. Oh, but how wondrous it is that he didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to condemn me nor sin, but he dealt with it through the shed blood of his only son. He made a way for the sinner to make his own way to God through faith in Jesus Christ. He made a way that the Holy Spirit can bring to a man the the conviction necessary for them to see themselves in a godly sorrow and from that sorrow to repent unto God, it's important that we recognize that God didn't come to condemn the world. I hear people make comments about certain types of people and certain political parties and all of those things. And I certainly have my own opinions and reasons that I do things. But I can tell you right now, God doesn't intend to condemn anybody. Now, does he go along with sin? No, that doesn't have anything to do with it. God doesn't go along, nor does he condone sin ever. But he didn't come to condemn. He came to save. And he came to save them. Just like he came to save you. For when it says that God so loved the world, I believe that's what he meant. He didn't say just this group of people, or he didn't come to save just this color of people or this type of people. He came to save the world. He didn't come to condemn it. Now, there'll be a day that the king will take his rightful position, and I can assure you, at that point, there won't be no question about who's in charge. Right? He's going to rule one day. But right now, he's saving. Right now, he's trying to reconcile whosoever will. Now, if you believed on him, you're not condemned. And that's a wondrous truth. You can find it again in Romans chapter number 8, I believe it is. Let me turn to it. I'll read it to you. Romans chapter number 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I've already read the other two verses. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Right? That's where condemnation comes from, is the law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of Christ has made me free from it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God didn't come to condemn people. His point is to save people. Now, I don't know about you, but it's important. Josh was asking requests for himself that he might be a light to another person. May I say to you, the best news that anybody's ever heard is that Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to send you to hell. His purpose on earth and his purpose now is not to condemn the wicked. It's to save them. It's to bring to them life. To whosoever will believe, he wants to save them. And that means everybody. Right? You can speak about the most horrible sins and sinners that there are out there. And I can assure you, that God didn't come. He didn't send Christ to condemn them. He'll judge them one day if they don't turn. He'll judge them certainly if they don't repent and come to him. He'll judge them when they stand before him on that great judgment day and they'll be cast into a lake of fire. There's no question about it, but let me be clear. I'd be in the same boat they were if I hadn't got saved. And if Jesus hadn't come to save the whole world, then certainly we would have missed it. We wouldn't have been a part of it. We wouldn't have been the privileged. We wouldn't have been those that had an opportunity to be saved. And yet, I stand before you today uncondemned. That's not because I'm not guilty. It's but because he chose not to condemn me. Right? But by grace, that he chose to love me instead of condemn me. I deserved to be condemned. And if I refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, I'm condemned anyway. Right? He doesn't have to do anything because that simple rejection of Christ, simple not believing in Christ, is what brings condemnation to any soul. And yet Christ has come not to condemn. As the woman who was guilty of that sin was kneeling there at his feet, and all of those self-righteous Pharisees were demanding from Christ recompense, what they didn't realize was in the same, had he judged her, he would have had to judge them in the same moment. And guess who would have been standing? None. Right? There would have been none standing. Now, I say to you today, as hard as it is in the world that we live in, and I think this is the purpose of the message, is to remind you that we're not of this world. And I realize it's getting more wicked every day. And I realize it's frustrating when you can't find a single thing to watch that isn't
filthy, worthless. It's frustrating that everywhere you go, you're bombarded with the heinous sins that are so awful. And it grieves our soul. But we have to remind ourselves that Christ died for them. Right? And that I was them. Just because I am something different now does not indicate I shouldn't remind myself that I came from that. That's what he rescued me from. That's the depravity that he saved me that I was in. That was the love that brought salvation to me. He didn't come to condemn them. Therefore, we have no right to do the same. We have no right to look at anybody or any circumstance and condemn them. I'll read to you what he said in Luke chapter number 9. I love this when Jesus is trying to teach his disciples a lesson. And here, I'm going to read it to you. And it came to pass, Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. I want you to listen to what happens. Verse number 353. And they did not receive him. So the people of the Samaritans did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, would thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. They wouldn't receive him. It made James and John mad. Is there anything today that makes you mad out there? It does me. Right? It makes me mad what they say about Jesus and how they treat his people and what's going on all around us and the wickedness that is everywhere on every turn. It bothers me. It grieves my soul. But we must be careful to remind ourselves that Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to save it. The purpose of spreading the gospel is that people that are in sin can be saved. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. When James and John, they thought they were doing him a favor. Now, I don't know why they supposed they could call fire down out of heaven, but maybe they had done that before. I don't read of it, but they certainly were willing to give it a shot, right? And what were they willing to do? They were willing to annihilate every human soul in this Samaritan village. Right? Why? Because they wouldn't receive Christ. And boy, did he scold them. Didn't he rebuke them? I guess the point tonight is that we need to be careful. Right? He said, you don't know what you're talking about. Right? You have just suggested that every human soul in that village be destroyed because they simply won't accept me into their village. Fire out of heaven. Consume them as Elijah did. Number one, Elijah didn't kill the people with the fire out of heaven. He consumed the sacrifices, what God did that day. They were wrong from the very beginning. But Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, I didn't come to destroy people. I came to save them. And that is the purpose of God today. It's to save people. It's not to destroy them. Do we have enemies? Yes. But what did he say we're supposed to do for our enemies? Right? Had nothing to do with condemning them, does it? Doesn't have anything to do with destroying them or seeing them annihilated or wishing them dead. Right? Be careful. Right? We can all fall into that trap.
to where we simply wish, Lord, I wish you'd just smoke them all, right? It'd just be a whole lot simpler if we didn't have all this opposition. But the truth is that he sent his son to die for that. Every last one of them. He didn't come to condemn people. Thank God for that. Amen. He did not come to condemn, or he would have surely condemned us. Right? We wouldn't have had a chance. And so when we look through the eyes of faith and we see the sin all around us and the poor people that are stuck in the middle of it, we need to remind ourselves that Christ came for them. And that we have a responsibility to share with those people the love of Christ in a way that is not condemning, but is saving. I'm going to ask them to come and get a song. I don't know about anybody else, but I've been in the place where James and John was. So mad that somebody would say that about Jesus, would do that to Jesus' people, that the thought would cross my wicked mind that this world would be better off without such as them. All the while, the truth was, as I is them, except for Christ. I was them. I was no different than they are. And it was by God's grace that I'm saved. And therefore, we've but one response to the sin of this world. And we have to do just exactly what he said. Love your enemies. He said, if they take a coat, offer them your cloak. If they smite you on one side, show them the other. There's so many things that we need to do to make an effect for Christ in this world. But I can assure you, one of them is not condemning folks as we go along. Christ came to save. Let's remember that in our hearts. He came to save. Stand as we sing. If you're here tonight and need the Lord, the altar's open. Obey God. Call on him if you need him. But more than that, for what seems to be a house full of saints, let's remind ourselves that we were once a sinner. And that those sinners out there, those poor people that are so lost and miserable and living so wicked and some violent and hateful, remind yourself that Jesus loves them. He came to save them, you see. He didn't come to condemn them, and for that we all are grateful. Amen. All right, if you need him, come on.